We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap. 10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's
just... I will never shut the fuck up. You
will
not tell me what to do.
You'll shut the fuck up and you will like it.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Yes, sir. May I have another? Welcome back, Please. Everybody.
Welcome.
We are Soul of a Gamer podcast. I am Scott.
And I'm Daddy. I mean, Stan.
Like how you couldn't even get it out. I like how
I know.
You're just like, I am dead. I'm so funny. Oh.
I just wanted to say it just to be
I
fucking
know.
Stupid.
Yeah, yeah. You just can't laugh right in the middle. You got to get through the, I am
and
di-
I am Daddy.
Wait, no, fuck. I'm Steven. Yeah, you got to be like
there.
Super like.
Confident.
Confident.
Daddy.
And then you have to correct yourself if you want to. But it's only if you want to.
Okay.
We are a weekly podcast. We tell you about games. We do some hot takes and we do some other stuff. And this week we're doing hot takes.
Yes, we are. What's the odd?
We're doing hot. This one's actually kind of fun. I had a lot of fun thinking about all these fucking things for these topics. So I'm excited to bring them up today.
Yeah. So we're doing our favorite consoles of all time. And we're also doing weird games, bizarre games, games you've probably never heard of or just the most outlandish things or whatever. We're going to have our own definitions of weird. So we'll get to those when we get to those.
For sure. All right.
Yeah,
well,
what do you want to start with?
There's no house cleaning we're doing, guys. As usual, if you want to contact us, we're on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all that shit. soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. All that crap. If you want to reach out, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. So any game suggestions we likely will put on our list. So just reach out.
Put them on there. I promise.
We will. But yeah,
unless
let's just jump right into this, I guess. Do you want to start with bizarre games?
Sure. Let's get the weird ones out of the way. I'm sure
this
is what everyone wants
bizarre.
To hear anyways.
I have some fun ones. I'm curious too. Guys, please reach out if you have played any of these games or if you're watching this on TikTok. Comment. I am so curious on my first one if anyone but me has ever played this game.
Do you want to go first then?
No, you go first. I want to okay. Save this. This is going to be
fun.
Should
I go with my most outlandish one or a more of a safe one first?
Whatever you want. This one's outlandish. This one I feel like is going to take a very specific person who has played this before.
Same here. I only played this with a friend because we were having a game night. A friend's brother came to the house with a PC with this on it. I didn't even realize this was a Steam game, and it's like a party game. This game is called Genital Jousting.
Okay. Is it like Joust, like that like
it
arcade-type game?
Mario Party kind of esque, like bunch of different mini games kind of game, where you're playing as a penis with an asshole.
Okay. I don't know if I like what you're giving me right now.
It's out there. It also does have a story mode as well. But so talking points for the game. It came out in 2016. Developers Free Lives. It's same folks who made the game Bro Force. Never played that one. And it is on Steam for about $8. But you control a floppy penis with a butt, and your goal, penetrate and not be penetrated. It's like a Mario Party, but everyone's ashamed of playing it.
All right.
There is a story mode, and yes, it's got a heartfelt story. It follows John, a penis searching for love and acceptance before his high school reunion. As ridiculous as it seems, the game weirdly tackles...
I don't understand, but okay.
As ridiculous as it seems, the game actually weirdly tackles masculinity, shame, and vulnerability. It's got a hilarious physics engine with floppy and chaotic penises that are really kind of hard to control and move around. And trying to move without any grace is impossible. And it was the first Steam game to ever include full penetration mechanics. And Valve let it happen.
Oh, that's so crazy, dude. They're such fun. They're fun guys, but they are fucking out of their minds.
I've played this once for like 2 hours one night with like five people. And this was with my brother and his roommate, John, when he lived. So if you remember John.
Yeah.
It was John's brother, I think, that came over to the house with this. And we had, I think, six or seven of us playing this game all connected. And it's the most ridiculous. The sound effects are gross and disturbing. You literally are trying to just fuck each other in the ass. Dude, I don't even know. Like, this is one of those games that, like, I've been waiting to find a way to talk about it on this podcast, but I didn't know where it would fit in. And it had to just be here.
It fits into bizarre games for sure.
Yeah. But it is a real thing.
Mine's a lot safer than that one, I feel like.
This is definitely my most disturbed one on the list by far. The other ones are a lot more tame, but I had to bring up this one because it's like the shock factor of it alone. I'm like, people will probably go up to the store and be like, this isn't real. And then they'll see the pictures and the videos and they're like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll come at you with one I don't think you've probably played. Maybe you have. This one's called Cartoon Orbit.
No, I don't think I have.
This was an online trading card simulator game on cartoonnetwork.com.
Ooh.
The cards were like in little circles.
Okay.
And you'd get rarity values off the cards. I played it for a little while when I was a kid. I didn't quite understand what I was doing, but in the end, you're just collecting cards and then battling each other and such. But they had a complete trading system. They had a complete battle system. They had a complete like rarity system in it. Yeah. Super interesting. And you'd collect your favorite cartoons from Cartoon Network. So you had like Cow and Chicken cartoon. You had Powerpuff Girl characters, Ed, Edd n Eddy characters, like Johnny Dexter's Bravo. Laboratory. Wait, what?
Johnny Bravo.
Johnny Bravo was in there, yes. Like, so they did. They really made it an interesting thing. And like, I don't remember too much about the battling system. I don't think I really got into it because I didn't even understand how to collect the cards. To be honest,
okay.
But I kind of want to go and find like someone's remake of this and try it out again because it, like, I have fond memories of like opening up packs and collecting cards because you had like kind of like today's daily login shit. They had it back then too, only it was way harder to keep track of.
Yeah.
So it'd be a fun one just to jump back into. And I am curious if anyone else had ever played Cartoon Orbit before on the old CartoonNetworkGames.com site.
Let us know.
I'm curious about
that
one, too.
I'm super curious. And if you did, if you liked it. Because I remember liking it, but I don't remember too much about it. But it was one of the weirdest things I ever got into as a kid, because the normal games for Flash games were all like, jump on this and fight these villains and do this thing.
Fair.
No.
Okay. Good pick. My next one is one that we've played, and this one just really is bizarre. Speaking of simulation kind of style games, Goat Simulator. Developed by Coffee Stain Studios. Yeah, released in 2014. Originally was just a joke prototype even. People loved it so much that they made a full release of the game, bugs included, on purpose. You're a goat, you headbutt people, you lick things and drag them around, and you can summon Satan and become a jetpack goat. That's about it. The tone's 100% parody, pokes fun at glitchy games like Skyrim, Tony Hawk, and Janky Charm of early sandbox titles. And with all the DLCs, apparently there's a Goat MMO simulator, which is a WoW parody. There's Goat Z, which is a zombie mode. There's Waste of Space, which is a sci-fi mode. And each one ramps up the absurdity, and some of them even make it like more role-playing style and stuff. And I'm like, what in the world?
Oh, I mean, it's Goat Simulator.
They made a sequel, which is Goat Simulator 3, because there is no 2, and they just apparently doubled down and even added co-op. I haven't played the third one yet, but
it's just random. I feel like I did play the third one at some point. I don't remember when I would have done that, but I feel like I did.
You might have. I think it might have been on Game Pass when it first released, but I didn't play it when it first came out.
I don't remember. I remember in the first one, you find the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever. The guy's dressed as a TMNT in the sewers of that city.
I think yes. Yeah. That's right.
Yep. Yeah, and they have like a rat pet rat or something. I can't remember.
Well, and there's
exactly,
like the Dead Mouse concert on top of that building that you have to like have that whale blow you out its blowhole to get you up to it. And then like you can wear Dead Mouse's helmet if you headbutt him, and then you control the party everywhere you go.
Yep. It's so fucking weird. What a weird game.
Oh, such a weird one.
That one is weird. I'm going to give you one that's a little weirder. Now, I never really played this game all that much. It was so fucking weird, I couldn't understand how to play it. And it's a World of Keflings.
World of Keflings. I've heard of this one.
You remember this one? It was big on Xbox 360.
No, I don't think I ever played it, but I have heard of this one at least.
Yeah, it was like, to me, what it seemed like was like, God, what was it? My mom played these stupid fucking games back in the day, and they were so dumb. And the whole point is you buy a space with real money, and you can put all your online shit in that space, and you can buy different skins and avatars. And I'm trying to remember what those games were called, but like, it was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And she would like spend thousands of dollars doing this. Like, it was insane how much money she put into it. And she'd brag about it. She's like, look at this face I have on right now. This costs $2,000. And I'd be like, what? Why would you spend that on this? But the World of Keflings kind of resonates the same thing. You have like a little town, I think. It's you're building up, but you need resources. And the only way to get resources is like to pay, I think.
Interesting.
If I remember right, again, it's been a while since I touched it, but I remember jumping into it thinking, okay, this might be a fun, cool, like strategy builder game. And then it turned out, no, this is not fun at all. In fact, it's just fucking weird and it seems like a money pit. But it was a very weird game, weird to the point where I don't know how to explain it like in a good way to people. Maybe it got better as time went on, and I played it when it first fucking came out, which I think was on 360. That is the time period, because that's when I first got my 360 too. I might actually turn on my 360. I have it downloaded still. Maybe I jump back in and see how it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know what it's really about.
I honestly have no idea. I just know it's a World of Keflings. I probably put about an hour or two into it, and then I stopped forever.
Fair. Next game for me is actually another game that I have never played, but I wanted to bring it up because I heard about this recently and I can't believe it's a real thing. We talked about tycoon games recently. There's a tycoon game that I was very shocked to find, Toilet Tycoon.
Oh, is it not? I thought you were going to say Terrorist Tycoon. It's like, okay, oh, no. I would be very shocked to find Terrorist Tycoon. Let's see.
I mean, that would be very shocking. That would be very shocking. Developer was Anvil Soft, and it was released in the early 2000s for PC and Windows. The premise is that you build and manage the most profitable and disgusting chain of public toilets in the city.
Disgusting.
I don't know.
The most profitable, but also fuck you, it's disgusting. Like, what?
You choose between different toilet types, squatters, bidets, golden toilets, and you can have different toilets in different areas. So like you want the rich areas to have better toilets. You want the poor areas. You don't care about the toilets. You're just trying to get people in and out. Apparently it features things like music, air fresheners, different urinal cakes you can have. And there's even sabotage in the game. You can compete against rival toilet empires by planting poop bombs or infecting their stalls with parasites.
Nice, yeah.
Do real business tactics.
Have some lampreys or whatever they are that go in your toilet and like touch your taint or whatever.
I'm like, what in the world? Apparently also there's random events where customers can sue you. They can go on peeing rampage or clog your toilets with mysterious objects if they don't like your toilets.
Throw like a M80 or whatever they are down the toilet.
Everyone says it's like, it's ugly, it's crude, it's weird, it's a German game, but it's oddly strategic and kind of fun. And I'm like, what is this game?
They say so. It doesn't sound very fun, but if they say so.
I was watching some of the gameplay and like watching like the saboteurs like come up to the toilets. It's just like watching like those little like...
It's like the Sims on the Sims.
Yeah, like,
when
kind
you
of like the burglars like the, and shit.
Yeah, the burglars are sneaking through.
Yeah, and you're just like, what the fuck? So yeah, I saw that and I was like, what is this? Okay.
All right. Okay, well now let's talk about, you've played Super Smash, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know Super Smash. What is Super Smash missing?
Besides some characters?
It's missing guns, Steven. Guns.
Oh, it's missing guns.
So when you throw guns.
Gun.
Yeah, well, when you throw all characters with guns into Super Smash, you get a game called Small Arms. This is a game that was on the Xbox 360 arcade. It was never very big, and I never got too into it because it's really fucking weird and it's hard to play. But essentially, you play as little animal critters that have guns attached to their body.
Oh.
So the cat has like a chain gun as an arm. Like, it was a really weird game. And like, I bought it because it was cheap. And at that point in my life, I didn't have any money and I was just looking for something to do.
Oh, dude, I bought so many cheap games for those.
Right. It's like, it was like a buck on sale or something on the 360 platform. And I'm like, well, this is kind of like Nintendo-ish. This is like Super Smash Melee. Maybe I'll have fun with this one. And it was nothing like Super Smash Melee. In fact, it's really hard to play. It's a game I still have on my 360. I probably should go back in and like give it another shot and see if I can figure it out now. But I struggled so much. I put hours into this game and I still have no idea what the third level looks like.
Interesting. So what other creatures were there? You said there was a cat with like a chain gun.
They're all this tiny creatures like that. It was like a squirrel, I think, was in there. I have to look at the roster again. It's been a long time since I touched it, but it's one of the most bizarre games I've ever played for like a fighting style, like beat 'em up game. You know, it's just
there's
so
a lot of
fucking
bad
beat 'em ups,
but I mean, some of there's so many bad beat 'em ups, and then there's all the ones that you never hear about that you like, how bad were those ones if I don't even know about them?
we should do Small Arms one day for the podcast or as like a bonus episode or something, just to have fun with it.
So you can see my pain. We have to do these like bizarre random bullshit that no one's ever heard about as like bonus episodes.
I wonder how many people have heard of Small Arms. I'm honestly curious about that one too. Like, who the fuck knows what that is?
No, seriously, if you let us know with all these. We are going to keep saying it this episode, but we are really curious to know for these ones.
Yeah. These random jewels we find that we didn't like all that much.
Another one, and this is another one that we played, and this is a dating simulator that we played that I had to bring onto the list because it's one of the most bizarre plot premises ever. Had to fill boyfriend.
I thought you were going to say Dead by Daylight dating simulator.
Oh, Hooked on a Feeling? I mean, that one's great.
Hooked on you.
That one's another one that's definitely weird. But I think Had a Full Boyfriend takes the cake with weirdness, especially because of how more robust the story is. There's 16 different dating options. I heard there's also multiple different versions of the game. There's a second version of the game, apparently, as well, that I think is only in Japan, possibly. And so I heard there's two different styles of it. And then, there's the 16 different dating options, but you have to do every one of the 16 different dating options to unlock the real story. That's another full long story after that. And it gets pretty ridiculous. But the whole premise is you're a human girl at an elite school for pigeons and you date birds, romantic birds, and some wear little hats.
And Steven didn't do what I did, but I put the full like 60 hours into that game. And I got the secret ending. It was actually really fucking crazy. That game is fucking crazy. The ending is so insane. Like,
the secret horror route that it goes and turns into like a psychological dystopia.
It is so fucking weird.
But it's one of those games that like I do want more people to play because it is one of those things that's so bizarre. And I think dating simulators, I wish they were more popular because some of them are so unique and so fun and have different dynamics to it. And I don't know.
Doki Doki Literature Club. I mean, that was like a weird fucking...
I want to play that one again. That's one we have on our list to do again at some point. Because we did it on our original podcast, but now we're going to do it revamped.
It's just such an interesting fucking game. Like, honestly, very interesting.
Well, and Doki Doki is actually one of those rare ones that went so viral for dating simulators. Like, a lot of dating simulators have, like, 2 to 10,000 reviews on Steam. Doki Doki has over 200,000 reviews. Like, it's not even
dating
close.
Sims are weird, and that one especially is weird. Like, you know, my problem with these ones too is I kind of want it just to be a dating sim, and it's not. I'm like, but I really wanted to get with Naruki. Come on.
Yeah. No, I definitely I get that to an extent too, and almost it would be funny if they actually just released a just dating sim version of the game. Like, we're going to take out the horror and you're going to actually just date the girls.
See, and because I really liked it in Dream Daddy, because you can do the secret horror ending. But honestly, doing the individual daddy stories too, that's kind of fun. It's almost better, honestly.
Honestly, and a lot of those, besides getting to like the horror cult ending kind of stuff, they were just genuine and they were fun and they were like kind of romantic for some of them, and some of them were weird and quirky, but it was definitely a great time.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. All right, I'll come at you with my last one. This one people probably have heard of. It was a pretty big, I say big, a pretty okay Game Boy Advance game, Digimon Battle Spirit.
Okay. Never played any of the Digimon games.
This one's weird. It's like a beat 'em up game of sorts. Like you're in a 3D battle with another Digimon, and you hit them, and when you hit them, they drop orbs. And the point of the game is either to win more orbs than your opponent by the end of the timer, or hit a certain amount of orbs, which I think might have been 600.
Interesting. Okay.
So every time you hit a creature, like, but it barely feels like a Digimon game for that reason. Like, it's more like, like, it was such a weird concept, and I played it and I bought it, and I remember going to Game Crazy and being like, oh, Digimon, I'm watching the new season of Digimon right now. I want this game right now.
Right.
And then just playing it and being like, this was a huge letdown, because you almost want it to be like a Pokemon game, and then it ends up being like a fucking random fucking Melee game. Like, it's just, it's very strange.
You mean Melee? So you're saying like beat 'em up? Is it kind of like the like Scott Pilgrim kind of games? Double Dragon?
No, it's kind of like Super Smash Bros.
Oh, one of those like kind of like fighting games.
You're in. Yep, you're in a like a very restricted area. You're fighting one other Digimon, and whoever gets the most orbs at the end of the battle, which you hit, then pick up the orbs they drop, you win.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this was popular in Japan because in Kingdom Hearts 2, they had a similar contest thing going on for the beginning of the game. So I think it must have been a popular Japanese thing. Because otherwise, I'd never seen games that use these orbs kind of collect-a-thon things in a fighting like atmosphere, you know? Like, it's just kind of weird.
And I would have thought that every Digimon game would have been more like Pokemon too.
Right. But it's bizarre. Not. This one's more like Super Smash, more like Arms.
I guess even Pokemon has like Pokemon Tournament and Pokken and
But they're not nearly like Digimon. Never went the Pokemon route. There's no real like RPG with Digimon, which I always thought was weird because I feel like the idea should be there. The right attitude is there, but for some reason they've never crossed over into that realm.
Yeah, I wanted to get into Digimon, but my parents didn't allow us to watch it. They didn't allow us to watch Pokemon either.
I mean, Digimon was awesome. The first four or five seasons of Digimon, like the first two are just back to back, right? They're both Digimon seasons of the original story. The third is fucking sweet. I think the third was the one where the Digimon world is kind of collapsing and Digimon are coming into the real world. And they had like the dinosaur dude and the bunny dude and the weird fox lady Digimon, and each trainer could like fuse with their Digimon to become better Digimon.
Okay.
It was weird. And then the fourth season is fucking wildly cool. You literally had like humans becoming Digimon essentially. It was super interesting. Like the whole thing is fucking interesting, to be honest.
Never really got into it, so it's interesting hearing some of the lore, at least.
Yeah. The original ones are just cool because it's like, Agumon, Digivolve 2, Greymon. It's just like seeing that little animation, and you know that's like purely Pokemon inspired, which is the funniest part. But then the rest of it's not Pokemon inspired at all, which I really appreciated. They evolved, you know?
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that concludes our weird games. So again, let us know.
Just so you know, Digimon Battle Spirit, I think, had 5 or 6 sequels.
Really?
I think so. Jeez. I know it at least went to 3 because they did the same thing that Mega Man and Pokemon do. Okay. They released number 1, then number 2, then number 3 for some reason had red version and green version.
No.
Mega Man Zero Mission did the same shit. They went 1, 2, 3, and then the fourth one had white and black.
Interesting.
It was stupid. I don't know. It's like it's just trying to like capitalize on Pokemon, I feel like, half the time.
Yeah. Fair.
Because they do it well.
Fair.
All right. Want to jump into favorite systems?
Yeah, let's get right into their favorite consoles.
Yeah, you know what? Favorite consoles is hard, guys, because I think we all play so many consoles that we tend to like say, like, I'm a PlayStation guy, or I'm an Xbox guy, well, I'm a PC guy, and like, and we don't really consider, well, we actually like everything about all the fucking consoles, so I'm a console guy.
But because of the gamers we are, because we're both the kind of gamers that have pretty much tried to have every console ever and try to play everything. But there are a ton of people that only play one console.
Yeah, like, it's silly.
My brother-in-laws, they only have a PlayStation. They've only really ever had a PlayStation. They had one Xbox their entire life.
I blame the console wars of the early 2000s. I think alienated people and like just understanding that every console is okay to own.
Yeah, well, and it always became a battle of the exclusives, and like PlayStation exclusives and Nintendo exclusives are just unmatched. They just are, like... Yeah. Xbox had like 4 or 5, and even all those 4 and 5 aren't even exclusives anymore. So Xbox,
which
isn't
is
really...
actually Xbox is the best one in my opinion for that.
Yes.
Because they're not making things exclusive. They're like, no, let's just share the fucking wealth here.
PlayStation actually just announced that they're going to be putting almost everything, all the exclusives, on every console in the next couple of years. So
yeah, because they are realizing
Spider-Man and Last of Us,
they're
on
literally
the
realizing, like, why the fuck are we shafting the amount of money we can make by only
putting
it on this fucking console? Let's just make money.
You know, I actually heard something recently, and I'm not a Jay Leno fan necessarily, but I heard him talking about how a lot of people in like late night television are kind of failing right now because they alienate half of the audience. They are really showing all of their views and having half of the world hate them at all times. He's like, when I was doing TV, I would try to make fun of both sides equally, so that way both people would think I would hate them and both people would always be watching. And I always had the entire audience. And that's what you want. You want to have the biggest audience you can. And so don't alienate yourself to just a single audience. And that's what I didn't like about just only playing one console.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, I'll start this off with my favorite console of all time. This is the console I've probably bought the most. I own two of them right now. I also, I had a really cool one back in the day, and I really wish I still had one. What is it?
Is it a Sega?
No, actually, it's the Game Boy Advance SP. So this is before Nintendo really fucked over everyone, right? Nintendo had some cool ideas coming into the 2000s. The GameCube, really, I fucking loved. The Game Boy, one of the best fucking like handheld consoles of all time. And then they bring out the Game Boy Advance, which was a lot of fun, but it's super fucking limiting. Like, it was so frustrating for me to have a Game Boy Advance, to run out of batteries, to know that my parents weren't going shopping that week, and to know that I won't be able to play my Game Boy Advance until I get more fucking batteries in a week.
I always bought rechargeables for those reasons.
Yeah,
I saved
it
for them.
You didn't have them back then. This is in the early 2000s. I'm sure
they
had them.
Came out, but
I don't remember when they came out, but I'm sure that they were more expensive then because we never bought them.
I remember them being expensive. I remember, my first pack I bought of them were like $40 for a 4-pack.
Yeah, but that's like, we're talking like early 2001 and 2. Like this is, I'm sure they were around, and I'm also sure they were very fucking expensive. Like with that, they finally come out with the Game Boy Advance SP, which is, it comes with a rechargeable battery. That's the only thing I wanted. And I'm like, and there's a fucking backlight on the screen. So
the
now I can
on
play
the screen was the real
that's
kicker.
That's the shit back in the day. Cause you're like, so my, a friend of mine had his dad put in a backlight on his screen. He's like, it's really cool, but you know, it drains the batteries really fast because it wasn't a lithium based battery back then.
Yeah.
And it was just so cool to see the backlight and just being able to play your game at Game Boy at night in your own bed, or like buying the newest Pokemon game, going and playing it. And like, this was the most fun thing ever. And I had the coolest version of this. It was a fucking like black and silver version where the base of it was black and the top of it was silver, and it was so cool looking.
Nice.
And I regret it so bad because I went to a gas station. And I don't know why the fuck I brought my Game Boy in. I don't understand me, but I brought it in and I left it on the counter next to the soda machine. I got a soda and then we just left. And I'm like, Dad, I left my Game Boy. And we went back and it was gone. Cause why the fuck wouldn't you take it? It's right there. You know, this is in Arizona, and Arizona's a shithole. So
Oh, that sucks. But yeah. I mean, that's a great pick. That's a great pick.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, I own two now. I love the Game Boy Advance SP. It's awesome.
Fair. One of my favorite consoles, and this is probably the console that just really cemented me in the gaming hemisphere. I mean, this is the console that I think I have to amount most of my becoming a gamer to, and that's the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, I can see that.
Such amazing hit games. I mean, we had Ocarina of Time, GoldenEye, Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, Banjo-Kazooie, which is one of my all-time favorites, Smash Bros. We had so much Turok. Like, there was a ton of
Conker's Bad Fur Day, I think, was on the N64.
It was just one of those things, and it was one of the first, because, like, I remember playing multiplayer on, like, the Super Nintendo, but a lot of times it was still turn-based, or you'd play really simple games on the same screen, but you wouldn't get to do too much. So this was the first, like, really couch co-op and split-screen chaos fun that I ever had. And
you play, like, the Mario Kart battle version or whatever, and have fun, like, taking down people's balloons.
Yes. And then, like, also the first Rumble Pack and stuff like that, you would put in the controller and memory cards for the first time. And this was
that was the dumbest thing in the world. I'm so glad we're done with memory
cards. I hated
it
too, but also because I remember like always having like five different memory cards and you'd have to write the games that you played on each one.
I loved how the Rumble Pack was separate from the controller too, which is
funny. Hated that though, because like you couldn't ever have like you couldn't use your memory card and the Rumble Pack at the same time.
Yep. And it was even funnier because certain games needed the Rumble Pack on the controller in order to play the game. I think Donkey Kong 64 required it.
I think so. But I do remember they did come up with that Rumble Pack that also had the slot that you could also do the memory card as well. But it's one of the jankiest controllers, and everyone will make fun of the controller. But it's also, it was such a great thing at the time. And it's a console I still own. Every time mine goes kaput, I buy another one. I think I'm on my third one.
Those are really easy to repair.
Well, a lot of times I like either got rid of it or someone grabbed it or someone like.
Yeah.
So whatever.
If you have a shitty N64 that doesn't work, guys, it is one of the easiest consoles to repair. There's not a lot of moving parts to it. So I would just do that yourself. Look up some videos online, and the repair parts are super fucking cheap for them.
Fair. What do you got next?
All right. We're going to talk about the GameCube. Now, I didn't put N64 on my list because I didn't really like the N64 all that much. The controller sucked, like you said. And the games, like, they were good, but they were selective. With the GameCube, holy shit, did they go fucking wild. Like, the GameCube's where Resident Evil 4 first came out on, which is fucking crazy to me. I cannot believe that is, like, the opening to Resident Evil 4. It's the Kirby Air Ride was one of the most fun games you could ever fucking play in your life. Mario Kart Double Dash, one of the most fun games you could ever play. Like
Budokai.
Yeah, Budokai was on the GameCube. That was one of the best games ever. Like, the GameCube was my first console that I really felt like was really fucking good. I mean, you had Pokemon Coliseum, you had Pokemon Gale of Darkness, XD, like, you just so many cool games were out on this fucking console, and it was so cool. And you talk about the memory card slot. Well, this one had a natural memory card slot easily put in. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure the controllers vibrated.
They did.
I didn't really like
the small disc. Like, that was such a weird thing.
Yeah, that was the weirdest part about it is, like, you know, now I feel like games are much more user friendly. They're trying to like stop making things so unique and start making them more like, okay, someone perfected this, let's just copy their perfection.
Yeah,
you know. But back then everyone was trying to be unique. Even the GameCube controller is kind of funky when you think about it. Like,
oh, it's definitely funky. It's weird.
There's no proper left analog stick or right analog stick. I mean, instead you get the C button, which is kind of the same but not really, because it's very different. But other than that, like, it was a really cool console. It had some really cool ideas and had some phenomenal games. If you guys have never played Custom Robo, that's one of the best games to ever come out on the GameCube, and I fucking love it.
Okay. I've never played that one.
I didn't really have a
GameCube, though. I think I had a GameCube maybe 3 months of my life. I had bought one from somebody, but then I got into a bad situation and had to sell it right away.
I mean, I did that with the Wii, but I sold it because it sucked. So I bought it.
I had
and
my
I thought,
Wii for
like,
a long
oh,
time,
cool.
but I had the special edition Walmart blue one, which Ooh. I thought was really cool until I realized it didn't play GameCube games like the other yeah. Wiis did. And I'm
that
like,
sucks.
What the fuck? Every other Wii does it but the Walmart edition. And yep. that's why it was
well,
so cheap on Black
the
Friday.
The Wii was just kind of a shitty. Honestly, I did
still,
not like
the Wii was a fun like party game.
Yeah, kind of.
Mainly just Wii Sports.
Like some of the games that came out on it were cool. Also, GameCube games, Metroid Prime and Metroid Prime 2, which were fucking phenomenal. So
true.
All right, what do you got for me next?
All right, let's go ahead and go with this one. Another personal favorite of mine. This one, I was talking about the console wars a little bit, talking about the exclusive, but PlayStation 3,
worst console ever.
Oh, dude, yes. This game. Last of Us, Uncharted 2, Demon's Souls, Metal Gear Solid 4, Little Big Planet, like there's so many others.
Drake's Fortune, Uncharted, right?
Yeah. The remake of Shadow of the Colossus, I think, was on this as well.
I mean, you can count. They've remade Shadow of the Colossus for every fucking PlayStation.
Like,
we got a PlayStation 76 edition now.
Hey, at least it's not been remade as many times as The Last of Us has.
Yeah, I guess that's true. God, chill
Already
out
on,
with
like
your
fourth remake.
God, we added the fact that she can wink better. It's so super surreal, guys.
I wouldn't doubt that that's a thing that comes. But it was also one of the first Blu-ray supported consoles.
Yeah.
The PlayStation Network was free at the time.
Did Xbox 360 have Blu-ray? I don't even remember. Guessing not.
The original Xbox had the DVD kit that you had to buy that you had to plug into one of the controller slots.
It did?
And then the 360, I think, had just a normal DVD player, but I don't think it was Blu-ray.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I know the original Xbox had... Are
but,
you sure you did? Because you could
the,
just
the 360
put in
did
music.
Have an attachment that you could buy for an HD movies that were their own things. They were in red cases instead of blue cases.
But yeah, I forgot.
Zach
about
actually, oh our friend had one of
yeah.
these, and he had.
I
a
mean,
bunch
later,
of these HD
remember
movies.
They changed it so then the Xbox 360 had an HDMI port, and then you
yeah.
didn't need that anymore. So
yeah, but
because mine has an
yeah,
HDMI.
Well, and even those HD movies, they only lasted like. A couple
about
of
a
years
year?
And then they stopped making them entirely
yeah.
like you can't even
yeah,
find
they were
those
so
HD
stupid
movies.
I remember our buddy's dad is very into DVD collecting, like he thinks that it's more important to own these things, and
yeah.
so you'll buy him a DVD and he's like, oh my god, I'm so excited, I can watch this on my DVD player, and I'm like, why do you still own any of this shit, dude?
I still own a DVD player and a Blu-ray player.
I know, I do too,
but
a lot of our shit we can just download onto a nice little hard drive and go through it and be fine. Like, honestly, that's the way to do it. Burn it onto a fucking hard drive.
Honestly, I've been doing, I still have a ton, like probably close to like 700 like DVDs, but like I've been digitally transitioning all mine from disc to digital with Vudu. And Fandango, yeah. they have like a $2 thing. You scan the back of your DVD and then you pay $2 and you get a digital copy of it.
Nice. I mean, yeah, I would just burn it, but you do you.
I'm not burning. I don't know. Dude, I like being able to access it online wherever. Like, I can log onto my Vudu account and access all of
cloud.
My movies. I don't need to set up a cloud. I don't need to do
yes,
anything.
You
they do.
Do
all of that by themselves. I don't need to worry about it.
All right.
I like
you it. You could do
it's
it all
easy.
Yourself for a little bit cheaper, but it's not going to be much cheaper.
It's not much, and it's more work.
Yeah. It just means you don't have to spend the $2 is all.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal to me, especially because like a lot of times I got these movies at like a used video store for a dollar or less.
For sure.
So. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What's your next one?
My next one is going to be the Xbox 360. Now, this is
well,
going to get
gonna
some
say
heat.
This one too.
This is going to get some heat, I feel like. Because
yes,
the
definitely.
Xbox 360, when it first came out, was a complete shit show. This was one of the
only
worst
only if
consoles,
you got the Red Ring of Death.
Which was literally, what was the number? It was like, oh God, 7 in 10 consoles got the Red Ring because of the...
I got lucky. I never had a single console.
Yeah,
I've had
7
four
in 10,
of
though.
These.
That's majority.
I've had 4 of them.
Yeah, I've had it several times. So the problem with the consoles is they knew that there was a bug in them, and
yeah.
instead of fixing it and delaying launch, they wanted the launch to be when they said it was going to be, and they just
yeah.
launched and said, you know what? They calculated that they would spend less in returns than they would in... thing, right? That's true. What they calculated. They were very wrong. I can't remember. I watched a whole documentary on this and it was so fucking funny. It was like $20 million is what they expected the returns to be for the Xbox, for the amount that would come back, which is a lot, but not a lot to them. And if they delayed, their delay would cost $50 million.
I mean, kind of makes sense from a business standpoint.
It makes sense until you realize the return thing actually cost them over $500 million. Like, they fucked up majorly.
Who was wrong in the math on that one?
I don't know. I don't know how the math fucked up so bad, but it was like, instead of repairing the consoles, which would have been cheaper likely, they were just resending out new consoles. It was so stupid. And like, there were a ton of different issues, like the hard drive looked really fucking dumb. Like, this console really, like, when you
we're
got
talking
down
about why
to
it's
it,
our favorite though.
But when you got down to it, like, this console really did suck. That's why I think it's going to get some heat. The games that released on this console were fucking awesome. Yep. And the community that built around this console, like, as soon as you got Halo 3, holy shit, your world changed. That was the entire reason you got this console, Halo 3. Like,
I mean,
Gears
Halo
of
3,
War coming
Gears
out.
Of War, yeah.
Oh my Red God, Dead. Like, Red Dead
Mass
Redemption.
Effect.
Yep. Mass Effect.
Skyrim.
Like, honestly, everything that came out on this console was fucking awesome. And the games were so inclusive. The Xbox Live made it just even more fun. Like, this was what you wanted from your console. Unfortunately, it got packed up by Microsoft, and Microsoft is known to, like, fuck things up a lot. So.
One thing I will say about the 360, which is also true of the PlayStation 3 that I didn't mention earlier, is that this is where achievements and trophies were both introduced to their consoles.
Which I think added something, but also took something.
Dude, I mean, both of those, I mean, whether you do achievements or trophies, I think that revolutionized a lot of, like, completionist
in
games.
Because remember, other games had them still. They just were inclusive to the games rather than inclusive to the environment.
Yes, but I mean, like, a whole console-based achievement thing where you could keep track of all of your scores from all games was only unique to these.
Yeah,
and it started
for
here.
Sure.
And that's really cool because, honestly, that system is something I really love. I love being able to be like, I have 128,000 gamer score. And then I hate seeing people like Ray from Rooster Teeth who just, I think, like three years back.
Have a job. Add that in.
He
does not have a job.
Got an award for having over 500,000 gamer score, and I'm like, holy shit!
I wonder if what that guy's doing. I wonder if he's still like streaming. We should look him up sometime.
One of the last times I saw something, he was still doing videos, but I don't remember if he's still doing it today. But yeah.
All right. Yeah. But yeah, the 360. I think for both of us, this was a lot of fun. Like, this is where we kept in touch with a lot of friends. Xbox Live was awesome. You could buy games online, so you didn't have to go to the store. So I moved to Indiana when I was like 17, and the nearest game store for me before I would ride my bike, this I could not ride my bike. It was like 45 minutes away on a bike ride.
Dude, so, I don't have a game store.
That sucks. I mean, now you don't need one. Now you have Amazon.
But I wish I had one still. Yeah, I like going into game stores, dude. I miss into GameStop.
Like, back in the day, we'd be able to like ride our bikes or walk down to the game store or whatever. And it was fun. It was fun. And when I moved, I wasn't able to do that. So the only way I could buy games was on the Xbox Live Marketplace.
True.
So then on 360, they made it really easy to buy games, which was nice. Not that
the 360 arcade was really great too, with games like Exic and Zuma and Peggle.
Yeah,
and this is
where they introduced like games with gold, where they essentially gave you a free game once a month, and then they changed that to Game Pass a little bit later.
Yeah. Games like Castle Crashers and stuff too.
Yeah. Like, honestly, Xbox 360 did a lot of things right. I just think the start of it was so wrong and fucked people over on it.
And it was kind of the end of LAN parties at the same time. Around the time that 360, because LAN parties stopped. It's like when the 360 died.
Yes, but because it's easier to be at home.
Stay home.
Because it's essentially a LAN party. You're just on your own couch.
I know, but I kind of miss LAN parties sometimes. Like, they were fun.
Yeah, they're fun. Just get a bag of chips, get some tissues, and put your dick out, and then you feel like you're still at a LAN party.
Whose dick out was at your land parties?
What kind of land parties are you going to where your dick isn't out?
I mean, the chips make sense, but even playing online, I got people eating chips into their fucking microphone all the fucking time.
Oh, I love it. I do that to people all the time.
I know you
I'm
do.
Just like, these Doritos are delicious.
Those and Whistlers can all
I love making
die.
People get. I make people guess what chips I'm eating when I'm eating them based on how crunchy
what
they are.
What kind of chip do you think is
Yeah, that's what I do. I'm the worst. I love
probably
doing it to
really
people.
Really awful in the audio right there.
It probably did. But yeah, all right. So we both had 360. What's your last one?
God. Last one, I'm torn between two. I had two written down, and one's more of pure nostalgia, and one of them is just because I think it was revolutionary, but I kind of hate the company now. So I guess I'll just, they're both Nintendo, so I'll just go with it.
I kind of hate the company. Yep, everyone hates the company. Dude, all of mine were fucking Nintendo too. Dude. I used to love Nintendo, and they just
hate
fucked
it.
Their own fans.
Oh, dude, the worst news I just heard recently was a bunch of people were preparing for a speedrunning event, and it was a speedrunning event for charity for Doctors Without Borders, and it's like a week long event where a bunch of speedrunners all come down with a live crowd and try to get world records for all the fastest speedruns. Nintendo sent them a message before the event. Saying you're not allowed to use any of our games, and you'll have to get permission on a game by game basis for us to allow you to have any Nintendo games being played during this event for charity.
See, the problem is, and you know what, maybe I'm being generalized here, but it feels like it's a Japanese issue, right? Because they're very like financially driven over there. Not that we aren't here, but they are so much so they're worried about their fucking like tiny bit of money they would gain.
Well, and it's like and you're like, only what are you ever hurting? Going to get more money from this.
Yeah.
Like, people going to an event watching speedrunning are probably going to feel inspired to play those games more than just if they weren't
it. I'm sure they have numbers that say, no, actually, people who watch play less, blah, blah, blah. But who gives a shit? You're getting a fucking audience. Be happy. Be happy someone's playing your fucking game.
They just don't want other people to make money on their property. And it's really annoying and sad to see. But
back in the day, they were so cool. And now they're just such a shit company.
So a few days before the event, they said that no Nintendo games are going to be played at all. Because it was just too quick of a time frame before the event
and
for them to get anything.
Don't give them any fucking recognition. Play games that people worked hard on who are happy to watch you fucking play them.
Right. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Nintendo Switch. It was the first one that actually, I think, really did do well with the handheld console that can also be a dock. I think that innovation was
what? Genius. Not the Wii U?
No, fuck the Wii U. The Wii U sucked dick, dude.
I've heard
no
nothing but bad
Wii.
Things. A friend of ours bought the Wii U, but even he said,
Corwin.
Like, I kind of regret buying this thing.
The only time I thought it was kind of cool was, like, him using that as a controller in Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept to do, but you're right. The Switch, really, they did a really good job perfecting, like, how the handheld feels on top of how the docking does, you know?
And even, like, the controllers that you can split apart to two different separate controllers, or you can have all these different controller attachments. I really loved all that. Yeah, I know there was like stick drift people that had problems with it. I never had stick drift problems. I've gotten really lucky with my consoles, knock on wood.
Again, it's just one of those things. You have to take it apart. You have to clean the inside and likely the stick drift will stop. Also, a lot of people get it after they have like really greasy food and they're fucking still playing their game. Yeah. So,
and I mean, like the games on it, we had Smash Ultimate. We had the new Animal Crossings. We had Metroid Dread, which everyone says is like absolutely amazing. Super Mario Odyssey, which is one of the best Mario games we had in a long, long time. Breath of the Wild, which I didn't like because of the weapon degradation system.
Yeah, but people love that
game. Everyone loves that game. Yep. Like, there is a ton. And like one of the things that sucks with Nintendo is as much as I don't like their money tendencies and their business tendencies and how much stuff, they do make absolute gold when it comes to their games sometimes. Sometimes.
So what they do, they buy the studios so all they can do is make the games for them.
Well, yeah, I know.
And which is a big problem for me because I'd rather have them like just license the game and let it be on their Switch but also be on the fucking Xbox but also be on the PlayStation. Like, why are you so selfish? Stop
buying
studios.
If Nintendo ever drops their shields and lets them be on other things, that would be the day. Yeah. I would be the happiest gamer I'd ever been at that moment, because that's the dream, honestly. Yeah.
For sure. I mean, they still haven't even released fucking the original Pokemons on the Switch, and they've already done it for the other fucking, for the DS and shit, so I don't know why they don't do it.
Yeah. But I mean, I even, with the Nintendo Switch, I got a really awesome Nintendo Switch when we first got ours. We got the Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee Switch that's
nice.
Half Pikachu, half Eevee, and it's got the yellow and brown controllers and everything about it. Like, I always loved the special editions of Nintendo consoles too. Like, my Nintendo 3DS, I got the 25th anniversary Super Mario Brothers edition.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Like, I just love how unique even the consoles and like the way they,
I mean, they always look great. You think of like the Pikachu N64 console back in the day, that one looked fucking phenomenal. That had some great colors.
Mm-hmm.
Then Xbox and PlayStation just don't do it that well. They do have some cool colors for alternates, but not as well as Nintendo does. The only problem is Nintendo is a shitbox who's fucking selfish and doesn't love gamers, just loves money.
Yeah. And one of my favorite Pokemon mechanics was the Pokeball controller that you could have. It was a little controller that you could use to play Pokemon Let's Go and Pikachu and Eevee.
I never played it. I just refused to.
With the Pokemon Go mobile game, you could put your Pokemon in the Pokeball and you could carry them around and do walking as a pedometer with that thing as well. And you could use that controller to...
I like how that was already done for Heart Gold and Soul Silver in like 2009.
Dude, I know. But I love that they rebrought it back. Like a 3D Pokeball instead of the flat Pokeball.
I still have like that the Tamagotchi. Thing. I still have my little Pokewalker.
Dude, I had one. I think moving somewhere, one of the times I moved, I either lost it or someone took it or something. Like, sucks. I had the old box with everything, like, still mint condition.
You know what's funny is I have the box for my Heart Gold, but I don't actually have the case. I have no idea where the case is.
Weird.
Right? Isn't that weird? I have the fucking original box. I have the Pokewalker. I have the game. I just don't have the case. I have no idea what I did with it.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm guessing I lent it to someone with a different game in it, and then I just forgot that I did that. Yeah. Best guess.
That's probably, fair.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. I think that's all we got. I'll give a shout out to the DS. I really did like the DS when it first came out. I thought it was a lot of fun. It did have my favorite Pokemon on it, Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
I also like 3DS. I like 3DS more than the DS.
Like I said, Nintendo did a really good job for a long time, and then they've just in the last 10 years dropped the fucking ball.
I mean, 3DS has assholes. probably my favorite Zelda game of all time, Link to the Past.
Yeah, Link to the Past was so fucking good too. Yeah,
Link Between Worlds.
That's the one where you're in the dark world and in the light world.
You go
flat, right?
And you can 2D on the wall and then go into the cracks and go into the dark realm. It's the coolest one, dude. I love that one so much.
Like a painting, essentially.
Yes, that was. It's by far one of my favorites. One of the most unique mechanics. It's cool story. I love that one so much. I wish they'd do a full console version of that one.
That'd be cool, but they won't because they're selfish and they're Nintendo.
I know.
All right, guys. Well, that was it. That was our hot takes. We hate Nintendo. Hot takes. I don't know if we've said it enough on this podcast, but I can't stand Nintendo.
We also suck their dick quite hardly. So
yeah. Like I said, I mean, I used to love them. They were great back in the day, and now I just feel like they suck. So sue me.
Don't sue
me, Nintendo. Please don't sue me.
And next week, we're going to play a Nintendo game. So
we are playing a Nintendo game. So
we're going to be playing Pokemon Red, Green, Yellow, or Blue. One of the four.
Yes. All right, guys. We will catch you on the next one. Bye.
Yes.
Love you. Meow.